Yeah, there might be a minus one to the n or something, or something, yeah, plus one or something.
One, yeah,
yeah, right.
Because it's size positive, negative, positive.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I should probably show you, I've been fiddling around a little bit more with KiCad, and I thought I'd show you a couple things here while we're waiting for Austin. That I discovered about KiCad that's useful, or that are useful. So here you are in EE schema, and suppose you wanted to, one of these signals here was, active low or something. By the way, I found out if you push F4 and then run your mouse around, it will, whichever way you run your mouse, it will scroll that way.
Oh, that's handy.
That's handy. Like this reset active low here. So let's edit that. I'm on the wrong thing here. Let's see, how do I select reset active? I guess it's right here. The pin is what I want. Edit. Well, I guess I can't show you on that. You can't edit the part, and you need to go to the library. Maybe I've still got that open. Let's see, do I know? Well, let's just go over here. We'll open it in the library. Edit component with library editor. So suppose, something here was low, like maybe here's one right here. I make this guy get bigger here. Notice this guy right here is actually two signals, TX clock and TX quiet not. And so you edit there. The way you get the not is by putting a tilde in front of it. Okay. So that's handy. I didn't know about that. And let's see. I should show you some things on PCB new here. This is the one for doing the board design. First thing you need to do, if you want to use interactive routing, you have to go view here and switch to OpenGL, which it already is in my case, but it normally defaults to the regular canvas here. And then if you want to do interactive routing, you can do this. And let's zoom around here.
Are those holes being like all the signals?
What's that? Well, these are plated through holes, or B is, I think.
B is turn.
Okay. I don't know if this is going to... This is what the new one does. So, some of these things are kind of beta-ish. Uh-oh. I think there it is. But you can do push and shove routing, like for example, maybe if I grab this trace right here, let's go over to do it right here. Oops, I need to go and take. I forgot the other thing I needed to show you. You got to go down here and hit interactive router, and then you can move stuff over and things like this. Just pushes stuff over. That's kind of nice. Yeah. Well, this you can move parts here too, but I think you can move parts in the free router as well. But I usually prefer to do it in KiCad. But anyway, so this is the new thing. Things are getting better here. So Austin, I hear you had a question. Did you figure it out?
On the homework?
Yeah.
With the current?
Yeah.
Going to the circuit diagram? Yeah, so...
That affinity.
Yeah, so the current we were doing is just basically the V over ZO, right?
Only for forward going. For reverse going, it's like this. See, it's V over minus E0 for the reverse going.
But so if you... That's just because we're saying current's going this way.
Right, yeah, but it's still, when we measure the current in this wire here, we're talking about the current going left to right.
Yeah, right.
And so when a current, a wave coming back this way, is going to actually have current going in the same direction the wave is. So it would decrease the current that's going from left to right because it's actually going from right to left.
Except for if we then had it hit something and the gamma is negative, then that means you have a negative voltage going back, right?
Right, yeah. Like, say, for example, in this case, we come up here, the ratio of voltage to current is 75. It hits here. The voltage has to go up and the current goes down. So if you look at the series for the voltage, this voltage and that voltage adds to it. But when you do the current, this current is just that guy divided by Z0, but this current is that guy divided by minus Z0. In other words, the current went down when the voltage went up.
So
if you look at the steps, kind of like this, current per voltage would go, we start out here, there's 0. And this is V plus right here, V1 plus, and it would go up a little bit. This would be, this distance here is V1 minus, right? But the current, it would be like this, and it would be proportional to that guy. If Z0 was 1, it would look like this, right? But then what would happen is the current would go down like that. Well, the forward-going current, current coming down going this way was positive, right? It's just this what got reflected back was negative. And if this guy had been 25 ohms instead of 100 ohms, then it flipped the role of voltage and current there.
Yeah, but if you're trying to sum them all and just make the sum of all the points, wouldn't it just be easier to put a negative 1 in there?
Yeah, negative 1 to the n or something, whatever, yeah. Negative 1 to the bounce number or something. But I didn't really expect you guys to try and come up with a closed form, solution there.
One for the voltage.
Right.
And the current, we were thinking, so it's divided by Z0. And so
the current will converge just like the voltage divider converge. I mean, the voltage converges to the voltage divider. The current will divide. It will converge to this voltage divided by that plus that.
Yeah, which was what was getting us because we were. If every time it's the voltage divided by Z0...
then it wouldn't converge that.
Yeah.
So it's not the voltage divided by Z0, because every other time it's divided by minus Z0.
Zero. That's what was messing with this, because we found something, but then we were like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, right. So a little change there and everything will agree. Okay, so today I want to look at a situation like this, where we have, I'm just going to make it easy, U of T, kind of like we did last day. We'll have a source resistor here. I'll call this RS. And then I've got some length of coax here, or transmission line of some kind. And then I've got I'm going to kind of put a resistor on this time. I'm going to put a diode on here, because the diode is easy, but if you had some other kind of electronic component, that would be fine. Okay, so this is VD, and that is ID right there, right? And so what I'd like to do is solve this problem, okay, where I have a picture. This is VD, and this is ID right here. And remember, this goes as Shockley diode equation, E to the QVD over VT, basically kind of thing here. So this is VD as a function of ID. I wish I had my blue pen here, but I guess I don't. We'll just have to deal with it. So this thing is Z0 in the middle here as a transmission line. Characteristic impedance of Z0. So the question is, how does this work? Well, maybe the thing to do is, remember when we did this thing before without the transmission line, the easy way to solve this was using load line analysis, right? You remember that? Let's just kind of remember that. If you remember, you can write say, if we ignore Z0, ignore the transmission line, or maybe I should say in steady state, that means after a lot of bounces. You're going to have this voltage VD will be the input voltage here, right? And so you can do a Thevenin thing around here. I'll call this VN here. I'm going to say VD equals VN. And we can write a Thevenin equation there. This is I. I'm going to call this IN. And I can also say that IN equals ID, right? So what I'm doing now is kind of like, you know, if we had had a resistor on the end here, I'd be kind of doing the voltage divider here. You know, basically I'm doing the same kind of thing there. So what I want to do is I want to write a loop equation around here. I'm ignoring the transmission line, putting that thing on the end there, basically. And I'm just going to go around this little loop here and basically, or write it like just IN. IN, that's this guy right here. And I really probably should call these things. I'm doing this the whole thing, so it should be capital N. And this should be capital N to get the right notation. So, better fix that so it's right. Oops, I have a very hard time writing capital N because you almost never IN is almost always a small signal thing, right? Anyway, so I can fix this. So IN equals, well, it's just going to be U of T, which, I mean, maybe I call this VTH or VS. It's going to be VS minus VN. Oops, did it again. VN over RS, right? That's the equation right here, this voltage minus that voltage over that. And if you plot that thing, if you look at this guy, this is an equation of a line which goes down with a slope of minus 1 over RS. Yeah, it is, yeah. Actually, I think this thing goes with the source, so we call this the source line. So this is minus 1 over RS, and this up here is VS over RS, and the place where it crosses there is VS, okay? In other words, where the current is 0, VS and VN are the same, right? Okay, so that, and the solution would be right here. So this is the steady state solution right here, okay? So I'll put a little note here, steady state solution. Okay, so now the question is, how do we get to that solution in a bunch of steps? We can probably make another, you know, one of these pulse bounce diagrams, right? And I'll redraw the transmission line here. Diode here, Z0, RS, and VS, okay? And, of course, VD, and ID, and, of course, VN, and IN, right there. And so, this axis, of course, is the z-axis. Here's 0, 0 right there. And this axis is the t-axis, right? And we're still going to have the thing is going to still go at the velocity. You know, this this guy has still got to be, let's see, that's z over t. Yeah, the rise over run. Rise was, so this is minus delta z, or no, minus delta t, yeah, minus 1 over vp, right? It's the slope there, right? And there will still be a v plus going down that line right there. There will be a v1 plus, right? And there will also be an I1 plus, you know, going down the line as well, right? I mean, because when you first start out here, it doesn't know there's a diode on there. It has no idea, right? It behaves exactly the same way as we had last day, right?
Yeah.
And we know what that is. You know, we can figure that out. You know, we can say V1 plus is equal to, well, it's the voltage divider, right? It's going to be Vs times Z0 over Z0 plus Rs, right? Isn't that what we do? Okay, so that's cool. But what we have to do is we have to figure out what happens here, right? So when that wave comes down here and it hits this diode right here, right? That diode has a certain IV relationship, this thing right here, right? And the ratio of voltage to current at that intersection has to match that it has to be, you know, on that curve, right? So what is that? That's going to consist of a forward going voltage, right? And a reverse going voltage. So let's write what we know about the forward going voltage and current. So we know V1 plus over I1 plus is equal to Z0. Or, you know, this implies that V1 plus, maybe I should solve for I1 plus. It says I1 plus equals V1 plus over Z0. And we also know that that I1 minus is going to equal minus V1 minus divided by Z0, right? Do you agree? In other words, just like before over here, you know, we said over here that we had I1 minus is V1 minus over minus Z0, right?
Is it always going to be that way?
It's always that way for the minus thing because, you see, the minus current is, whenever you have a wave going down a transmission line, there's a current wave and a voltage wave.
Right.
And you can kind of think of, you know, when we did them down here, we said the current is positive in that direction, right? And, you know, we turned out with a positive current wave and the ratio between V and I was Z0. The voltage and the current wave that are traveling down this line at the speed of light, they're Z0. I mean, the ratio is Z0. So when we are down here and I go backwards and now there's a current going back that way, right? There is a wave of current which is actually traveling in that direction, right? And the ratio of the voltage, which is an across kind of quantity, to the current, which is a thing which has a direction on it, and in this case it's going that way, is positive. You know, the ratio of the voltage here to the current going that way is positive, but we already labeled our current, our reference current, as going that direction. And so because it's going that way, the stuff going backwards is always negative.
What if the voltage going backwards is
positive? It's just the ratio of the two. If one of them is negative, it changes the other one. But what I'm saying is, this is going to be negative here, whereas that is positive.
It makes sense, but I feel like instead of always recognizing it as the current going this way, why don't we always just, because we got to sum these all up, basically, to figure out the current going this way,
mm-hmm.
basically, in the long run. So wouldn't it always just be better to assume that you're going to subtract it instead of having that negative sign in there? Just assume the current's always going forward, and then if it's negative, that means you have a current bouncing backwards. And if it's positive, that means bouncing backwards, you've got current speeding up or something like that.
Well, just because it's negative, see, V minus could be negative, right? If V minus is negative, then I minus is positive. It depends on if we went and changed this to a resistor, kind of like over here, if I had instead of 100 ohms.
Yeah.
It's always the opposite.
I don't know.
I is negative.
It's easier to assume that the current's always going forward. Mm-hmm.
And then just say it's minus when it's these reflections.
Wanting to take the current going
forward. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So what we have to do, we're going to have a reverse going thing, and it's going to go also at the speed of light. You know, it's going to have the same, you know, this guy right here will be, the slope will be 1 over Vp, right? And it's going to come kind of down like that. And so what we need to do is we need to figure out on this pulse bounce diagram, you know, what is happening. What we really need to figure out is how do we map that over here to this? Does that make sense? And this corresponds to something at the end, okay? All the rest of the stuff, all the stuff over here is the same, right? I mean, actually, it really wouldn't matter. I could do this same problem with a resistor on the end, and this would just be a straight line, right? Does that make sense? So, I mean, what I'm doing now is just showing you that, I can do this for the nonlinear method by using this. That's the idea here. So what happens is, this is current here, and this is voltage here. So when I have the forward-going wave here, okay, on this diagram, you know, this diagram, this part of the diagram right here corresponds to this side, and this part corresponds to that side. Right? So in between this side and that side, I've got to have something on here that corresponds to the transmission line, right? So what happens on the transmission line, we start out with zero voltage and zero current. You know, before time t equals zero, this was a U of t, so there's nothing there, right? So I know at time, before time t equals zero, I had to be right here. You know, this is for t less than zero, right? I know I'm right there. So I know where I am there. And then on the transmission line, there's a forward-going voltage, V1 plus, right? And with it, there's a forward-going current, right? And if you look at this, it says I1 plus is V1 plus over Z0, right? So the slope on this graph, if I want to graph that V1 plus and I1 plus, really I1 plus will be on this axis and V1 plus will be on that axis, right? Then this would be a thing with a slope of one over Z0, right? Right? So I need to pick a Z0 for this specific case here. I mean, maybe I should have done this for the exact same 100-ohm resistor because, you see, you can do it with a 100-ohm resistor there the same way as you could do it with this, right? But I don't know. I'm going to say, in this case, in the 100-ohm case right here, that 100-ohm resistor was bigger than Z0, right? Okay, so 1 over 100 would be larger than, I mean, smaller than 1 over 75, right? So in that case, what would happen is, you know, in that case, there would have been a line like this instead of a thing like that, right? In that case, the 1 over Z0, which is 1 over 75, right, is smaller than 1 over 100, right? I mean, bigger than 1 over 100, right? Then what would happen is it would, okay, let me think here. Let me just draw that over here. So I've got that. We'll do the, this is the 100-ohm resistor case, okay? So this is IR. This would be a 100-ohm resistor on was to graph, well, I guess we also have to look at what the RS is there, right? And the RS was 1 over 50. What is 1 over 50? The slope of 1 over 50 is even, it's got a more steep, right? So this slope coming down here, this slope would be, I mean, I'll do over here, put 50 ohms on here. And so this slope is 1 over 50, right? And then we said the actual load slope was, this was minus 1 over 50. The load slope on the end is plus 1 over 100, which is a shallower slope like this, right? The slope is 1 over 100. And then 1 over 75 would be a little bit steeper. It would be kind of like this, right? This would be, the slope here would be, oh, but I don't need, yeah. Yeah, I want, this would be 1 over 75, okay. And so when you look at it, right here, this is 75 and this is 50 right here. And so when we're looking at the forward-going wave, the forward-going wave deals with this 50 ohms and that 75, right? So this guy right here is the 50 ohm one, right? This is the source line, and the Z0 is this one, right? So what happens is this goes up like that, and it hits right there, okay? That's this then, this voltage right here, or this would be I1 plus, and this right here would be V1 plus, okay? Okay? Now, when that V1 plus and I1 plus hit the 100 ohms, right, it's starting out, instead of from right here where it started out there, it's now going to start out from right here, right? Because we add it on. We add the, you know, the I1 plus to the I1 minus, right? And it's got to go down at a slope of minus 1 over 75 because of this dude right here, right? So it's going to come down like this. This slope is minus 1 over Z0, right? Minus 1 over 75. And it has to do with hitting this guy on the end, right? And so where it intersects this line right here, that's, this distance would be I1 minus, and that distance would be V1 minus, and this is the total voltage and the total current at the time that the thing, you know, bounces off and heads back the other way, right? Okay. And then what happens is it, when it bounces back the other way, it's got to go parallel to this one, right? And this would be plus 1 over Z0, right? And it waits till it hits, you know, when it's going back, and then it hits this 50 ohms, right? That's this line, right?
Yeah.
And then the one going that way again will go at this funny other slope right there, right, until it hits that line right there, right?
So that's the idea.
And so it just, yeah, right, you can see it's just kind of zooming in on that little point, right? So you can see that series that you guys summed before analytically, you can see it, you know, graphically on this thing. And now if we do that same thing over here, okay, right? You know, basically what will happen is the first one goes up just like we did here, and it hits this line, right? So I don't know, if it's a low Z0, it goes over here. If it's a high one, it goes up here, whatever, you know, it just goes somewhere, right? And so, you know, it's going to go, and this slope here is 1 over Z0, right? Till it hits right there. Then it goes down at minus that slope. This is minus 1 over Z0 until it hits there. And then it goes, you know, boom, probably right about there, and you're done. Right? You get the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, it might actually, you know, it's possible it could come back over here, you know, and it doesn't always go in a circle, but it does always get smaller and smaller and converge, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
that approaches that point where
where this thing was right here. Right, I mean, yeah, where the solution was, the steady state solution, it approaches that. So hopefully you can do that last problem now, which was, you know, if you look back over here. If I can make this go here. This one right here, homework number 9, okay? Is that all right? And if you want to, you know, you can plot that equation on a graph paper and just do it, you know, by hand, or however you like to do it. Basically, what I want to know is that you know what's going on here and there. I mean, graphically, the picture to me is worth, you know, everything. You don't have to, like you guys, I didn't really mean you guys to go sum the whole thing up. Probably, you know, if I was going to do this, I might have done this in terms of VSRS and put my RL on there and just summed it and showed, oh, yeah, you get the voltage divider formula, you know, and whatnot, but I didn't mean you to actually do that with numbers, you know. With the numbers, you can just come down and kind of graph it and get the first few bounces. You can get as many as you want this way, right?
We all did infinite series.
Yeah, right. I know. You guys are incredible. So it's doable, you know. I mean, I do the thing with in general kind of a thing, but I really didn't mean you to do that. It just meant that you would do the pulse bounce diagram and then know how to graph it. In other words, you know, if you looked and wanted it at a certain time, you know, you go across this way. You wanted a certain Z, go down that way, right? So this picture gives you the whole thing, right? As long as you know what all these numbers are. And when you had, you can use this thing to get the reflection numbers right over here. Or you can use the, if it's a resistor, you can use like we did last day in the gammas and so on, right? So. Yeah, so this is kind of cool. And this is actually quite useful because you will be designing, you know, circuit boards and you would like to know what's going on with those things, you know, when you're doing digital signals. And sometimes these reflections, you know, what comes back, you know, it might... It's possible it could, for one thing, it could go higher than you want. Okay, in other words, could burn out your chip. Because if you send a voltage down a line, right, and it hits a high impedance at the end, like an open circuit or something, then what's reflected back is what same as what went down, right? And you sent 5 volts down, and what comes back is 5 volts. You got 10 volts there, right? Or possibly the 10 volts, right? And that 10 volts could be higher than the, you know, VDD or whatever plus 0.3, which is about what, you know, burns up most chips. So I mean, those kind of things can be, you know, can be important. But also, of course, those reflections. You know, the reflections can actually change the logic, right? So anyway, next day, I think what I plan on next day is I'd like to actually do a demo with the network analyzer. Maybe we'll go down to the lab and we'll hook up the network analyzer and, you know, show you what happens in real world when you put on components. You can look at the reflections, you can look at the Smith chart, you can see the all the impedances, what happens, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that should be really fun. Actually, you know, in some ways, if we didn't have this project, I'd probably just assign you a lab of, you know, playing with a network analyzer, because I remember the first time I got to play with a network analyzer, it was absolutely incredible. You know, it was actually, I had all done with grad school, and I actually went out to Adventist World Radio, and they had this HP big old network analyzer there, you know, that cost $30,000. And I actually spent about a week just playing with that, doing little experiments and stuff. You could do what took me when I was here, you know, in the lab, taking data points, writing them down, you know, one by one, you know, and then graphing them and so on. It would take you about a week to do a lab. You could do that lab in about, you know, a minute or 60 seconds or something. And so it was kind of like, you know, doing you know, some gigantic intensive class that lasted for a year or something of just doing one lab right after another, you know, of actual, you know, electronics and what happens with, you know, the funny things you see, you know, like that quarter wavelength short circuit becoming an open circuit and all those kind of things. You can just, and if you do that enough, you get a gut feeling for what's going on, because, you know, when you play around with mechanical things ever since you're a little kid, you know, you're putting these, snapping these Legos together or whatever, that's really great, because you actually find out, you get a seat of the pants idea of whether this thing is strong enough or whatever, you know, all those kind of things. And with this network analyzer these days, and, you know, they're cheap enough now, you know, I think this circuit board I'm working on here could work as a network analyzer. And it's like $35 for the little evaluation board, B-Micro, basically it's an FPGA board. And I'm guessing, you know, for the little A to D converter and the circuit board I'm working on here, you know, if you get samples, probably, you know, another $20 maybe. So for $50 you can have a network analyze it, you know, like it was like 30,000, even, you know, like the ones over in the corner, probably $30,000 to $50,000 is what they were new. So, and of course, this is, you know, maybe only goes to 60 megahertz, and those go to, you know, 10 gigahertz or something. But still, you know, you get the same kind of ideas, and that's wonderful. And that's the whole reason, really, that I wanted you to know the Smith chart stuff, was so that you could have the theoretical background to understand what the network analyzer is telling you, because it's all based on waves. And most, you know, most engineers, you know, that are actually designing these high frequencies things, they think in terms of waves just as much as they think in terms of voltage and current. And you guys need to, you know, be able to do that. So, anyway, have a good weekend, a good Sabbath. We'll see you next day. Yeah, we need to send that board off today. Let's just get that sent off. I think that's an excellent idea. Can you send it to me, and I could give it to Ralph?
Yeah, there was a few issues when we sent it into the
pre-VFM track, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what your schedule's like, but, you know, Ralph is liable to go home about 1 o'clock and maybe not come back. So why, if you could send it to me between classes or something, or send it to Ralph, or me and Ralph, probably.
All we have to really do is, yeah. What do you need, like KiCad files? Or
yeah, the KiCad files, and, you know, you can say, look, we did a free DFM check, and we got this error or something. We're not quite sure what's going on there. And so then Ralph and I'll sit down and look at it, because we need to get it sent off today. We don't want to wait till Monday.
Yeah.
So...
You're going to send it.